Nikki, I'm calling in for hearing that I had scheduled for 11 or 9 o'clock.
Okay, perfect. We're here with the Board of Equalization.
Good morning. So my name is Amanda. I'm going to just step right into our hearings today. So welcome to the Board of Equalization. Today is October 10th, 2019. The time is now 9 o'clock. So we're going to start with your appeal today with petition number BE-2019-01, parcel number 116140035. Owner is MPT of Pasco RCCH LLC. Representing them, we have Martin Gunther from Property Valuation Services over the phone. You'll have...
Just to clarify, Martin is actually out of town. My name is Blake Steinor. I'm a co-worker of his. I'm taking his place, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. No, my mistake. I'm sorry. Yes, welcome, Blake. And with your appeal, it is commercial, so the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, who is absent, Joe Crist, and myself, Alicia Greenway, as chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat extended judicially. As those are certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following the hearing, the board will meet and weigh the evidence and make the final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentation data provided by you and the assessor's office, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and the assessor will present her case next. Please begin, Blake.
Good morning, everybody. So, as you can see, based on the first page of our evidence, we have three styles of an approach. We have an income approach, a sales comparison approach, and then a cost approach. Highlight our main approach would be the income approach with this property, which if you flip to our second page of evidence, we have broken out our pro forma income based on market leases. Then we broke it out into two fashions, for the basement level of this facility versus a main level. Are going to receive two separate lease ratios because one is in the basement. You're just not able to leave that space for as much as the main level. So we're using a $23 per square foot lease rate for the 4,237 square feet of the main level office area, and then a $15 per square foot lease rate for the 1,560 square foot of the basement. That gives us a total potential income of $120,851. We are applying market-based in collection laws of 5%, a 10% expense ratio, property. And our lease rates are supported. If you look through the following pages, we included a map of where we got our lease rates from. So we're using Midtownway, Bedford, 61, 19 Burden, 61, 15 Burden, 5804 Road 90, 2715 St. Andrews, and 2805 St. Andrews Loop as our lease comps to support where we got our $23 and $15 per square foot lease rate. The following page, after you look at our lease information, we ran our comparison approach for sales. Again, a lot of properties are similar, or if not the exact same, to the properties we use for lease comparables. So if you see, you look through, we got the price, the sale price. We did apply adjustments to sale price based on age, the location, land, and building size, and then we did include an adjustment for improvement type. We adjusted some of the properties up 10% for improvement. So we applied a $215 per square foot lease rate or price per square foot to that. We garnered a sales comparison valuation of $1,250. Again, that's actually lower than where our average and mean were after adjustments. So we feel like we're being reasonable with our sales comparison as well. In the following pages, again, the map of where we got our sales prices, and then also breaks down what each property sold for, price per square foot, and how many square foot it was. And the following information, again, is just the CoStar pages for each particular property with a little bit more information regarding the sale. And the final piece of information is our cost approach. We are using an urgent care clinic as our classification. We are ranking the property as good, plus in 2.5 rank and Class C build. We are appreciating it based on, I guess, 15% overall depreciation coming in at a value of $1,300,000. So based on these three approaches, built person, income approach, and the cost approach, we do get a reasonable value for the property. What we have requested is a value of $1,280,000.
Okay, Nikki.
All right. Starting on page one of our assessor's answer, the brief description of the building, it's 0.73 acre C1 retail business land with a 1,237 square foot average plus quality medical office, an average condition, and then of course the 1560 square foot basement. Pages 2 and 3 are our appraisal methodology, which we discussed the fact that the state requires us to be 100% of market value. Pages 4 and 5 are part of our cost approach and include all the characteristics of the property. Those pages land, and then it goes into the different sections of the building, the age, the depreciation applied, and the miscellaneous improvements are all the yard improvements. The value indicated on page 6. Page 7 is a sketch of the property. It was reviewed in 2016. We remembered it fully and accepted it at that time. Page 8 is a photo of the property. Page 9 is the aerial view of where it sits right on the corner of Road 68. And page 10 is the commercial vacant land statistics for this area of the Road 68 corridor, with a brief description down at the bottom, a narrative of what the Road 68 corridor encompasses. As you do you see there in the middle of the page, the median ratio is only 71%. So even with the increases this year, 71% of sales prices on our land values. Subland sales on page 11, just appear to be questioning the land value, but we felt it important to discuss it briefly. And the map of the land sales on page 12. Page 13 are the commercial statistics for the Road 68 corridor area for not vacant land but improved property. And again, if you look in the middle of the page, the median assessed value ratio is 77%. So even with the increases that we've seen this year, we're still pretty significantly low. That's just due to the fact that we're having a really hard time keeping up with this market, specifically in this area. Page 14 are the improved sales that we used to determine the level of assessment in the area. So the subject property is at the top, it's a medical office, again, all the characteristics. And with land or basement removed, comes in at $256 a square foot. The subject parcel was part of a 28 parcel sale. But again, that's not really relevant just due to the number of buildings in that sale. So the sales that are included down below are other medical offices in the Road 68 area. All medical offices. And I would like to point out that in the opponent's packet, only two of the comparables were medical offices. The other were others were just just office buildings. So the value per square foot and the lease amounts per square foot are going to be less. Regular office building doesn't have any of the medical office build-out required. So these medical office comparables listed down below and what they sold for, price per square foot, is over on the right. And then you can also see our assessed ratios, assessed value compared to those sales prices. And these specifically to the medical office buildings, our average ratio is only 86%. So again, still consistently low for the area of the property site. A map of those sales are indicated on page 15, the subject in pink. So these are all in the direct vicinity of the subject properties. And then there are some photos and specific examples on page 16 of the subject property and then two sales that are right there that sold. You can see that the subject property's price per square foot is at $438, and both of these sales are between $425 and $459 per square foot of the sale price. So our method of appraisal up with this value is the sales adjusted cost approach. And looking at our level of assessment, we didn't feel the need to go into an income approach at all and let it more than justify the assessment.
Okay, Blake, do you have a rebuttal?
I do. So I'm just going to start with land. We're not really testing the land value. Much like the county stated. So I don't really have anything to add there. In regards to the medical office sales, if you notice that three big five vertical bars, those are all three office suites. So when you're selling a condo or a suite versus a full building, It definitely changes the market for, you know, what somebody will pay, and, you know, it's just not the same as selling the full building. So we don't really, those three really would valid sales. And then also to skip all the way to the sales in subject neighborhoods, specifically regarding 70, the last page of the county's packet, 7430 Wrigley Drive and 7425 Wrigley Drive. Specifically regarding 7425, based on the CoStar evidence, that property was a 1031 exchange. So that would be a valid sale as well. So it doesn't, I don't think that $425 per square foot sale price is have something that we can use. And then as well for 7430, it is purchased by a REIT. Now typically REITs don't pay market value, they pay the value to get the lease, or you know, what's referred to as a lease fee transaction. So typically those don't necessarily indicate, or at least these two really drive sales. I wouldn't say that that sale constitutes the conditions of the sale. They really aren't for market value. Whereas if you look at our sales comparisons, we are one within the area of the subject property. And there were several sales well below the subject, you know, price per square foot, 68, or like 27.5 St. Andrews Loop and 27.15 St. Andrews Loop, low where the subject's at. So there are definitely sales within the area that support a much lower value that were open market transactions. I would like to also indicate that when we run our cost approaches as well, we do use Marshall and Swift, which takes into account market adjustments. So we are adjusting for market factors when we come up to our cost valuation of $1.3 million. And then lastly, regarding income, this property was built in 2004. It's an office, medical office building. Typically, income is going to be your best measure for valuation in this regard. So that's where we feel our valuation. It has more validity than the counties because, again, income with properties this age is typically your best bet for an accurate value. And then we have the other support information with sales and our cost approach. So that is all I'd like to add.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Joe, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
I do. Nikki, what about this 1030 exchange?
Yeah, I was going to update that out in our rebuttal. So we've been in contact with both of the new owners of the building and sent out sales questionnaires. We didn't come across anything that would disqualify this from being a market transaction.
Okay, how about the lease fee transaction?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. He said it was transferred on a REIT. A REIT is a real estate excise tax affidavit, and all property is transferred on a REIT.
Okay.
I was referring to a real estate investment trust, REIT.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, we sent out sales questionnaires and didn't get anything from the new property owners that indicated that both of these were not market transactions.
Okay. All right.
So as far as rebuttal goes, just talking about market transactions, that is what I was going to say, is we do contact all purchasers of property in the county and get those sales questionnaires, which include phone numbers, so we call in and ask questions if we have any follow-up needed. And then he wanted to point out that the St. Andrews Loop sales prices were much lower. They're not on 168. They're a completely different type of property. And again, they're not medical offices. They're just regular office buildings. And then as far as saying that Marshall and Swift already includes the market multiplier, we use Marshall and Swift. It does include a local multiplier. From our assessment ratios that Marshall and Swift just is not keeping up with our market. It is not. The local multiplier is not enough ever. It hasn't been over the last 15 years to keep up with the actual sales that are taking place. So in addition to those Marshall and Swift local multipliers, we do see plenty of evidence that indicate the additional market adjustment is usually needed.
Okay.
So, Nikki, is that market value adjustment is the one that's down at the bottom of page 5?
It is.
Okay. And that number is taken out of Marshall and Swift, or is that adjusted based on the local area and your experience with the?
It's based on the local area sales.
Okay.
So Marshall and Swift multiplier is already built in before that 40% is added.
Oh, okay.
And then you can see, like, on our sales page, where we indicate that even after that 40% consistently applied adjustment to all medical office properties, we're still only at 86%
correct. Correct.
So if we didn't put that on there, we just try to use the Marshall and Swift multiplier, it would be around 50%
okay.
of the sales in your taking place.
Okay. I guess Blake and Nikki, just I noticed that in the cost approach, there seemed to be a different set of numbers. I'm trying to find the page. Because if you're both using Marshall and Swift, it seems like the values were
a little
different, much lower on the on your assessment, Blake. I guess you're using a medical office. I'm trying to see where. Yep, you have medical office, utility medical office up here. Okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, in large part, the difference is due to the local adjustment the county is making to the property. You look at their cost approach before they add any adjustments, they're fairly close to our number, actually a little bit lower.
I'm not certain I follow. I look at a base cost of 96.98, and I see a base cost of 131.11 with the county.
That's what I'm saying is we're actually higher than where they are before they add their additional adjustments into the value based on their market sales and what the information they're running based on sales to adjust it.
Okay, so Nikki, that 131 includes the Marshall and Swift adjustment? The base cost, section 1, page 5.
It's essentially what the county is doing. Marshall and Swift is adding an adjustment based on the market, and the county is doubling down on that adjustment based on their sales information or whatnot that they're running. That's where the difference essentially is.
And so you're saying your base cost includes the Marshall and Swift adjustment?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, we are including market adjustments into our cost approach.
Okay. Nikki, do you have an explanation for why there's such a difference if his numbers are using the
Marshall and Swift.
The Marshall and Swift values, including the Marshall and Swift adjustment?
I think, like he said, overall, our before the adjustment, mm-hmm. our indicated cost value is $907,700. And then we're adding a 40% market adjustment. So if you take the depreciated cost that's down near the center, page 5 on the right,
mm-hmm.
and you add in the miscellaneous improvements, which
right.
are the
130.
I think part of the difference is, too, that we're putting the basement down in those miscellaneous improvements. Rather than the building value.
Okay.
Just because in our Marshall and Swift program, the basement is a secondary type of an object rather than an object we can add, like the other sections of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the base cost, it's kind of misleading. Their base cost does appear to be lower. We both add exterior walls and sprinklers and
mm-hmm.
and then we depreciate it down differently. So their depreciated cost is 163 and ours is 183. But then we add on all those miscellaneous improvements. So if you separate that out per square foot,
mm-hmm.
that would be different.
Right.
So I do agree with what Blake is saying, that our indicated value is actually lower using Marshall and Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And then we add that market multiplier on there 40% to bring it up to market value.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Thank you, Blake. Thank you, Nikki. Yes, sir.
How long until we receive a notice with the results? Again, I'm sorry.
We will have, you will receive something within 4 weeks. It should be shorter than that, but within a 4 week period of time. But we usually have it out before that.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, so that concludes our hearing this morning. We'll go ahead and jump right into our next one of the day. Mr. Lake, can you sign in?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good morning. So we're here at the Board of Equalization. Today is still October 10th, 2019. We have petition BE 2019-06, parcel number 1020921757. Owner is Jerry Latham, who is here today in house. And we have Morgan and Marina Denisuk, representing the assessor's office. And also with this petition is residential. This petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence we have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, who is absent today, Joe Crisp, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is a quasi-judicial board, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat extended judicially. As these are certain federal and state boards and commissions, the board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our roles is to review the facts and presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. Law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor's office. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to take and affirm your testimony by raising your right hand. Take the oath. Sorry.
To each of you who will be testifying today, affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth.
I do.
Following the hearing, the board will meet and weigh the evidence and make final determinations. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The determination is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice will is an opportunity at the bottom of the decision. You can appeal it. The board is in receipt of all documentation, and we have read it by you and the assessor's office. The appellant, you will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin.
Okay. They raised my value over $37,000 from last year. And I only paid $37,000 for the house 6 years ago. So I just think it's really excessive. And I called Brian on the phone and asked him how he paid to justify that. And he gave me an example, a house that sold on the Elm Street. But that house is on 3.4 acres. The house is bigger. It has a huge shop and a mobile home. So I don't think that's a fair comparison. There's also one that sold on Mart just down the street for $43,000, so he didn't want to knock that down. So that's really all that's happening with all this, you know, for real estate.
Okay.
That's like 40% in 1 year.
Okay.
And nothing happens in Clovis. I mean, it's not like there's jobs there or the town's growing or anything like that. So.
Okay. Nikki?
All right, good morning. My name is Nikki Morgan, and I prepared the packet of information for the assessor's office this morning. So first, as an overview, the way that the assessor's office works by law is that we review appraisal property value every year. So we're an annual county. Every 6 years, we come out and physically inspect 1/6 of the county. At that time, a whole new appraisal is developed, starting with land value and then improvements, including that inspection, which may be discovering new property that we didn't know about or changing condition of property that's changed since we've been there the last time 6 years prior. So that is the case here. We inspected all of the rural property, including all of Clovis, and everybody got a whole new appraisal. So when we do that, we're not necessarily required or even allowed to look at the percentage of increase. The state requires us just to look at what market value is. So in the end, we do look at percentage changes, sometimes just as a quality control check to see if anything's super out of line or which properties change more than others and why. Make sure there are no errors on our part before we send values out. But that said, the percentage of increase is usually more on that 6 year because we're doing a whole new appraisal and it's been 6 years since we've seen the properties. So I'll go through my packet and hopefully it'll explain a little bit more. So page one gives a brief description of the subject property, 0.47 of an acre, zoned residential in Clovis. Does include a single family residence, 1,250 square feet, with an attached 199 square foot garage. Page two is another summary of the property, including ownership information. And pages three and four are the subject property itself, including the age, area, quality, condition, depreciation, given all of the property characteristics can be found there. And page four is the photo of the home. Page five is the sketch of the property, again, just indicating 1,250 square feet with an attached garage. And pages six and seven are an outline of our appraisal methodology, which talk more about the specific statutes that require us to be at 100% of market value. When we look at sales for the appraisal date of January 1st of that year, and how we use sales comparisons to arrive at a value, not necessarily using specific sales comparisons, but using all of the sales in an area to indicate our level of assessment, to use market adjustments to bring us overall up or down to market value from our cost approach. Page eight is a description of the neighborhood itself, so the Clovis area, how many parcels are included, how many sales were looked at to determine the assessment value. Page nine are the statistics for the area. 10 sales were looked at between 2017 and 2018. And then there in blue, the overall level of assessment came in at 90%. So even after the adjustments that we made, overall, using the 10 sales, our level of assessment is still only at 90%. Again, we're supposed to shoot for 100 according to the state statute. Page 10 are the specific sales used. We're talking about Clovis, but we're also talking about an area that we included Clovis, Mesa, Altopia, Basin City, all of the outlying properties that would be considered comparable just to look at our level of assessment. So that first sale, again, is the one that the appellant referenced on Leona. It is the only residential property that transferred on an arm's length transaction in Clovis over the last couple years. And our ratio is 75%. So that being the only sale, there are some jurisdictions that would have taken it, bumped everything up to bring that sale to 100%. We didn't do that. We know that Clovis is kind of your typical extremely rural town that doesn't have any major industries drawing people in. Only one sale over the last 2 years. We're okay with our level of assessment maybe being a little low out there, just being on the safe side. One sale does not necessarily make a market, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So we do look at all of the other outlying areas. The first four sales there, well, the next two are the same property that sold twice. Again, want to point out that gives us a little bit of an idea on the time adjustment here. Not a lot of property movement, but when it does sell, it's increasing. It sold in February of 2018 for $155, and then it sold in June of 2018 for $162. And as far as we know, not a lot of work was done to the property to substantiate the increase. It was due to market change.
And where was that?
Mesa. Oh,
that was Mesa.
Mm-hmm. The following two are also in Mesa. And then the next two, Leon and First, are in Basin City. And then the last three are in Mesa. So all rural, all what we consider comparable rural properties, looking at our level of assessment. And those are the sales, again, that we use to come up with overall 90% of assessment value. Page 11 is a map of the subject property and the one sale that did happen. Not very far away at all.
Which one is that?
That's the one on Leona. Or, yeah, the one on Leona.
Yeah.
And page 12 are the sales that occurred in Mesa, a map of where they are. And you've got some circled properties there. Those are the properties that are indicated on page 13. So just so that when we get to page 13, you can look back at the maps and the circled properties are those specific sales. So on page 13, it again discusses the subject that it's built in 1970, 1,250 square feet, fair quality, fair plus condition, with a price per square foot of $78.48 of value. The two sales on this page, the first one being 311 First Avenue, came in at a sales price of $136.99 a square foot. So we're significantly under that. The sale number two at 101 May Avenue sold for $162 a square foot. And I would like to note that the sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sale was not adjusted for differences, nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value. We do not do the direct comparison approach. We do the cost approach, and then we use our level of assessment and adjust all properties the same to bring them up or down to market value. So these are just examples of sales that have occurred to give you an idea of what's going on in the market. That said, on page 14, this is a look at what those adjustments were. So while we're saying we want to compare Mesa, Eltopia, and Colotus, Basin City, to look at our level of assessment, we do consider them different neighborhoods. So the first one, neighborhood 613, is Basin City, Mesa, and Eltopia. You can see that for the single-family residences, we took our cost approach and we subtracted 5% to bring them to market. When you move down to Colotus, it's a different neighborhood because we know that it's a different market. And we use that same cost approach, the same appraisal methodology, and rather than subtracting 5, we subtracted 25 from all residential properties. All single-family residences in Colotus got 20% less value applied to them than Basin City, Mesa, and Eltopia. So because the appellant did reference the sale on Martin, just wanted to include a little bit of information on that sale and why we wouldn't speak to it as a market transaction. The next page, so page 16, is the real estate tax affidavit that shows that it was transferred on a statutory warranty deed, but they didn't put that it was a personal representative deed. So the following page, page 17, is a copy of the deed itself. It is a statutory warranty deed, and then you can see there in parentheses, personal representative deed. So if you go back to page 15, I'll just read through this a little bit. We don't consider it a qualifying sale because it was an estate sale. A personal representative deed or a PR deed is not a tool used to transfer title of real estate, or it's a tool used to transfer out of an estate. It's very similar to a quitclaim deed. Only the person transferring the ownership of the property is the executor of the state instead of the actual owner. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. So I just wanted to briefly touch on why we didn't consider that a market transaction. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a rebuttal?
Yeah. Well, that house was for sale on the market. I could have bought it. Anybody could have bought it. It wasn't an auction or a for sale. It was just a sale. You can call a yard sale a real estate sale. You know, they just don't want to use that because it's the best comparison. It's sold for $43,000.
You can see the RCW on page 15 that I didn't get to that talks about why the state won't consider it a market transaction.
And saying that Clovis and Mesa are different neighborhoods are different cities. Mm-hmm. They're not just different neighborhoods. And it's a completely different thing. Houses don't sell for $98,000. I'd sell mine in a minute for that. No one would buy it. I could put it on the market for $60,000 and maybe wait for 6 months and maybe somebody would buy it. I paid $37,000 for it. So to say $98,000 is ridiculous. It's way more than it's worth. And we can spend it if you want, but it would never sell for anywhere near that.
Any rebuttal then, Nikki? Questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
I don't either. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Lathan, and we will weigh all the evidence and everything.
Okay.
We will.
I'd like to know the house on Leona Street is the only one that she's considering, you know, and was. I'd like just to say again that that was 3.4 acres. What a huge shot. And on the assessor's page, it says it's 30 by 20. But it's more like 20 by 7 shop, plus a mobile home.
Okay.
So that's like 7 times larger property than mine.
Right.
So
we've
and
got all
sold
that
for less than what they'd appraise mine.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Okay. Well
thank you.
Okay. So that'll conclude the hearing. So.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you. Welcome to the Board of Equalization. Today is Thursday, October 10th. The time is now 9:47. So I'll go ahead and just jump right into the hearing. We are starting with petition number BE-2019-07 as well as BE-2019-08. Parcel numbers are 10666-4881. And 10666-4882. Owners are both James and Stacy Morris Ferguson, who are both here today, and as well as Nikki Morgan and Monica Crutchfield with our assessor's office. So this is a residential hearing. So it is scheduled for 20 minutes. We'll go ahead and give 2 minutes to highlight the points of the evidence that you have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for a rebuttal from questions from the board. But since there's the two parcels, we'll go ahead and start with the first and then just jump into the second after that.
Good morning. Welcome to the board of the Franklin County Board of Equalization. Board members are Greg Garcia, who is absent today, Joe Crist, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat extended judicially, as those are certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the properties as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor's office. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Raise your hand. Thank you. Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following the hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. You will be issued a written decision to which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all the documents you have provided and the assessor's office, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will start with your case first, and then the assessor's office will present her case. Go ahead and start, please.
I guess for lot one, all I'm disputing is the property value in itself. My evidence would be the appraisal that we had, and in that appraisal, it did appraise the empty, undeveloped lots and what the independent appraiser would come back with for the lots, which is included. He came back with a prospective market value of $32,500 for the lot value. I also know that our community is a very small community. We've had developers come in and buy property but not been able to develop like they've wanted to in different areas because of the cost to develop the properties, to get construction companies out here because of the distance that it is. So I know we are not a fast-growing community, but to see the property value triple in some aspects, it's hard to believe that the value could be, that could triple, and not seeing the immediate growth that's happening and knowing that how many obstacles there are for builders to come in and build in Conroe.
Nikki?
All right. Hi, my name is Nikki Morgan, and I prepared the assessor's office packet for these circles, so I'll just go through them really quick. But before I do, I just wanted to touch on, the valuation of cycle in Washington State and kind of how that works. So every 6 years, we come out and physically inspect 1/6 of the county. So for the previous 5 years, we did look at property values, and we're required to adjust values statistically. So according to if there's enough significant sales proof or evidence to show that our market values need to be adjusted up or down in either direction. So on that sixth year, it's a whole new appraisal ground up. So new land values, new improvement values, and it's typically the year that you see the biggest increase just because we haven't seen the property. So that could be discovering new property. It could be changing quality or condition of the property itself since we've seen it last. Just any corrections that need to be made. And then a fresh new look at the properties according to the new appraiser and just looking at things market value. So that said, we don't necessarily look at percentage increase as much as we do look at our level of assessment compared to comparable sales that we have. And just changing our values to market value. We do look at percentage change just as kind of a quality control in our office at the end before we send up values, just to make sure that no mistakes have been made. If some are changing more than others, is it justified? Was a correction made? Did a condition change? Did we add something? So less looking at percentage change on property values as much as what are properties selling for and what is our level of assessment now. So, page one, just to dive in, I'm going to speak to the packet for BE 2019-07, but really the evidence is for both parcels, land value as they sit right next to each other. So the parcel is 0.82 of an acre, zoned residential low density. It's got a 1984 double-wide manufactured home with a 1,680 total living space and 482 square foot covered porch. There's also utility buildings, a roof cover, and a shed. Page two is just an overview of the property itself, and pages three and four more speak to the land and improvement value. You can see on page three that a negative 25% noise impact from Highway 395 was applied to the subject parcel on the land value only. Page four is the improvement. So again, length times width, overall square footage, year built, characteristics of the property. Page five is the photo of the home. Six is the photo of the outbuildings, and seven is a sketch of the property. Pages eight and nine are a brief summary of our appraisal methodology. So they also reference the RCWs, the statutes that we're held to by law, being 100% of market value. Things that we do look at, why we don't look at others, and that our appraisal date is January 1st of the year that it was set. Page 10 is a description of the neighborhood, and then kind of a brief description of the following page, page 11, which speaks to the four sales of manufactured homes that occurred in Connell in 2018. And then in blue, you'll see the statistic there that we're most interested in, which is that even after all the changes that were made, we were only at 96%, 96.81% of the sales prices overall. Page 12 are the four sales themselves that occurred in 2018 of other manufactured homes in Connell, all being double wides, ranging between 1,080 square feet and 1,650 square feet. Average or average plus quality, and all in average condition except for that third one there, which is in fair plus condition. There's a map of the subject property compared to those sales on page 13. So the subject property is the red circle, and then those salmon colored parcels are the sales themselves. Page 14 are three different sales. I would like to highlight the comment at the bottom that the sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences, nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. So we did not do an individual appraisal on your home. We used the cost approach using Marshall and Swift valuation software. And then depending on overall where our values come out at the end, we apply a market adjustment to all manufactured homes to bring all of those values up or down to give us that indicated ratio at the end. So these are three sales that took place with a range of value per square foot between $83.03 and $111.11. Just kind of an indication of sales that have been taking place in Connell. And then page 15 is the land valuation curve. So the two subject parcels are at the top with indicated value per square foot of $1.46 and $1.57 per square foot. The difference there is just due to the difference in size of the lots on a land curve. The smaller the lot on residential, the more per square foot of value it's going to hold. And then the bigger it gets, the less value per square foot, because there's less desire for those increasing square feet. The highest value of a residential lot is the ability to build a home on it. And then the bigger the yard, the less desirable that is, or the less someone will be willing to pay per square foot. So you have the sales that took place in Connell. They're time adjusted from their sales dates, so they range from 2015 to 2018. And I would like to note that the second and third land sales sold for $2.12 and $1.72 per square foot. There's a map of those on page 16, and both of those are directly influenced by SR 240. So not the same type of noise or traffic as 395, but similar in that it's a high-speed, high-traffic road. they're directly influenced by it. And so we do have those sales that are also directly impacted by high-speed noise and traffic. And they still sold for $2.12 and $1.72 per square foot, which are both higher than the subject properties are valued at. So that is all I have to say about my packet. Just concerning the appellant's appraisal, the appraisal itself is for Lot 3, which is an undeveloped parcel that's part of the short plat. You can see on the appellant's packet that has the map of the different lots. There is an easement, an access easement granted as part of that short plat, but there is no paved access to this parcel. And it is directly influenced by Highway 395, as is Lot 4. So both of those parcels are owned by the appellant, and both of those parcels received a freeway noise impact to the land as well, and a stipulation was accepted from between the assessor's office and the appellant. The two lots out front that are on the paved street and have legal access from a paved road, one being the subject property and the other is just the other subject property, they don't have the access restriction. They're right on the paved road with utilities. They're right. They are further from 395 and not right on it. So the appraisal report from June of 2019 is for Lot 3. So not totally relevant to these two subject properties because they don't have paved access. They're a secondary lot. There are development costs that would be incurred to any developer that would want to build there, as well as the fact that they're directly on Highway 395. So we just feel that this appraisal for the back lot is not comparable to the two front lots that are under appeal now.
And you guys can speak to your second lot now, your second.
In the appraisal at the very end, it did say the estimated market value. And if the property was closer and did have access to utilities, he did say how much he would appraise those lots at. And that's why I brought the appraisal in, because it spoke to lots 1 and 2, because lots 1 and 2 have utilities access to them right away.
Right.
And the appraisal did say that if lot 3 and 4 had utilities, then he would appraise it at that value.
Okay.
Could you help me find that on the appraisal? Down there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think something else that's been changed since the appraisal was done is all four lots, the zoning has been changed from low density to medium density, and we had a potential sell for lot 2. Someone was going to buy it and put duplexes on, and because of the increased property value, they are not looking at buying that anymore because they couldn't charge enough rent for duplexes to pay the property tax. They got duplexes right in the same neighborhood, and they had to come before you guys for that same reason.
The lot next door to your house?
It would be from lot 2, it would be directly west, and they've actually got 4 duplexes right in that neighborhood. They had to come before you and have the values reduced because of if the values didn't come down with current rent, they wouldn't have any profit left over. So
okay.
There'd be no profit left for improvements or repairs.
So which lot?
If you went take this lot and go directly west.
So not one of your lots then? Not one of our lots.
No, he was wanting to buy one of our lots. Because of the change in assessed value.
Yeah.
Okay. In his own assessed value.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. I'm just trying to understand. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
together. In May, we had the zoning change, and I don't think that's went through yet. It still shows that it's zoned low density.
So since the appraisal date was January 1st, that'll affect the value next year, and actually that could potentially increase the value of the lots because you can fit more living units per buildable lot.
Yeah. Okay.
The only point I would make in rebuttal is that the last page of the appraisal that pointed out that the appraiser felt the prospective market value of the land, 32.5, is an estimated for the subject's land value. Again, that's for one of the back lots with direct, not only a secondary lot from the road itself, but directly influenced from Highway 395.
Right. Okay. And any other rebuttal from you? Questions, Joe?
No, I don't think so. I'm good.
All right. Well, I don't have any other questions either. Thank you very much. And in the beginning, we will weigh everything, and you should hear something within 4 weeks. Usually we get it out before 4 weeks to you. But
okay, so that concludes our hearing.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Board of Equalization. Today is October 10th. It is now 10:30 a.m. So we're going to just jump into your appeal. So we have petition numbers BE 2019-16 and BE 2019-17. Parcels number 109-651-048 and 109-651-049. The owner is Leslie and Gabrielle Savage. We have Mr. Savage here today. We also have Nikki Morgan and Monica Trumpfield, representing the assessor's office. So this is scheduled as a residential hearing. So we're going to go ahead and do both of the parcels at once. So it's scheduled for the 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight the points of evidence that they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, who is absent today, Joe Chris, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are somewhat extended judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. The clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following the hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks, usually shorter. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by you and the assessor's office, and we have reviewed it all. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor's office will present her case. Go ahead and start.
Okay.
First, I'd just like to thank you for taking the time to meet with me like this and go through these materials. I also apologize for being so providing so much. As we got here this morning, I could see you going through all that and saying, golly, that's a lot of stuff. I also, before I get started, just wanted to compliment Amanda, your clerk. She's been very cooperative, very helpful, and you're very lucky to have her. So whatever you're paying her, you owe her more money. All right, well, let me get on with my... I own quite a bit of property in Franklin County. And in answer to Joe's question earlier, I'm the guy who developed a project called Oasis Village at Carnell. There's 65 lots there, and that's part of a much larger piece of acreage that I bought from Mr. and Mrs. Bennett back in 2016, I believe, when that transaction occurred. And so the reason I'm here is because I have developed those 65 lots, I've sold 63 of those lots. I am the largest developer of finished lots in the Connell area in the last 50 years. And I just looked at the assessor's summary, and in fact, it says that there's 650 residences in Carnell. I built one-tenth of those. Based on that, I can tell you that I have some level of understanding of the values of lots and houses. As I've been doing that for 10 years, I've built more houses than anybody else in Connell by a factor of who knows. I do have, I'm a credible source for knowing what the value is of these lots. Number one, I developed 65 lots here, and of all these lots, as you can see here in my note, the most recent sales in Oasis Village were 30,000, 30,000, and 35,000. We had two lots, which we sold for 30,000, so those actually were effectively more like $15,000 to $16,000 a piece. Historically, the values are in that range of $30,000 to $35,000. The assessor's office, however, put the value on the two remaining lots at $46,000. No lots have sold for anywhere close to that in 10 years. And my suspicion is you won't see anything sell in that range for another 10 years. So it's way, way out of line, very inconsistent with everything that's occurred to date. So from the standpoint of values of all associated lots, given that, again, I have the experience of 63 right next door to these two, it's hard for somebody to say these suddenly are worth 46,000. That's number one. Number two, the second item I'm bringing to your attention is the fact that I just paid a considerable amount of money for a MAI appraisal for this property. These people assessed the value for those lots, they appraised the lots, at $27,777. That's $18,000 below the assessor's estimate of value. Now, this was a year old. It was completed in, 2017 and 18. So it's about a year to, between a year and 2 years prior to what we're talking about here. But certainly these lot values don't appreciate by $18,000 overnight. Again, this is an impartial third party. I had no impact or influence on what these values were set at, so you can see that this should be recognized by yourselves as being pretty legitimate. Thirdly, in a series of plots that was provided by the assessor's office, it showed 12 recent properties. which totaled $426,000 for $35,564 per lot. And my note here says, interestingly, they combined a number of extraordinarily large parcels into this summary, which are obviously much larger than the subject properties and which actually should be thrown out of the analysis. But I've left those property in the summary just the same. So these are the three main points I'm bringing up with respect to the valuation of these lots. These lots are should be valued about $36,000. The assessor's office put a value of $10,000 more than that on each of the two lots. I'm giving you real values based on what lots are selling for. I haven't made anything up. This is all accurate information. What they're telling you is information they have that they feel that the valuation is way higher. Mine's realistic, and I believe theirs is not. It's a pretty simple case. Okay.
Thank you very much. Nikki?
I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to do a brief summary. Hopefully you guys have read through the packet. I'd like to jump to page 8 of my packet, which highlights the two subject parcels at the top, their value per square foot, $4.95. The three sales that occurred in Oasis Village have been time adjusted at 5% per year. We do have double sales reports from the last 5 years in Connell, which indicates that the market increased 8% per year, but we rounded that off at 5. So the time adjusted sales prices per square foot come in between $4.41 and $5.10 per square foot. We do have the land on a land curve, so the smaller the lot, the higher the value per square foot, and then decreasing as the lots get bigger. There's another comparison on page 9, which puts the subject property at the top. And the appellant referenced the latest sale, which was two lots sold for about $35,000. Both of those lots have been developed with houses now, and both of those houses have sold. So you can see that the improved value on those two parcels were only at 90, an overall average of 90%, if you're tracking there on page 9. Okay, so if our value was drastically out of line, our overall assessed value on those improved lot sales would be over 100%, not under. So there's one point that I want to make. The other thing that I want to jump to is in the appellant's packet, the appraisal date is listed as 2016 on the first page of the appraisal. And then if you go to they are page numbered on the appraisal itself. Go to page 35 of the appraisal.
Let me get there.
That's okay. The MAI appraiser has looked at the value of the development land parcels around it separately from the 18 lots that were vacant at the time of the appraisal.
You said page 30 of
35. There's a chart on the top, a chart on the bottom, and then some paragraphs in the middle.
Correct.
The MEI appraisal does the same thing that I do. So if you want to compare that to page 10 of my packet, you can look at improved property sales in the area and allocate 20%. The land percentage of an overall improved parcel is typically between 20 and 25% of a residential area. So the MAI appraisal speaks to that, and you have a chart there. If they use 4 to 1 or 5 to 1, that's 20 to 25%. And they're indicating that the gross retail estimate of the 18 lots is $750,000. So if you do the math, $750,000 divided by 18, that's $41,666 per lot of value in 2016. I'm not sure where the appellant got $27,000, but this is the MEI appraiser's opinion of value. He has it in bold, $750,000 for the 18 subject lots, $750,000 divided by 18, 41,666. So I do the same thing using improved property sales in Oasis Village in Connell on page 10 of my packet, and indicate that if we allocated 20% of the sale to land, then down at the bottom the average land value would be 41,838. Or if we do the 25, then the land values would be closer to 52,200. So allocating less to the land, erring on the side of caution with a lower land value, our values are closer to that lower number. And then the last point that I'd like to point out is page 12 of my packet is the listing for the subject parcel itself. There's two of them, two lots, two listings, page 12 and 13, currently listed for 47.5. So the land values that were given in Oasis Village were not only applied to these two vacant properties, they were applied consistently throughout Oasis Village to every parcel in Oasis Village, and these were the only appeals that we received regarding land values in that area.
Yes, no, you get to appeal.
Okay. First of all, they're making an assumption that somehow there's an 8% appreciation per year, and that they've been conservative in saying it's actually 5%. That's pure hokum. Let me give you a good case in point. I thought they would bring up something like that, and so I brought the most recent example of a major unimproved parcel in the city of Connell. It's part of your packet there. And it was a parcel that's been on the market for a number of years for $125,000. And it ended up selling for $97,500. That was after 5 years on the market. So the value of lots that are not built on in Connell is simply not going up, and it's certainly not going up 8% a year. Here's an actual case in point that proves that to be the case.
What page number?
You're talking about material. Phase?
Yes, that's right. That's what it looks like. Sent.
Okay.
Right after.
Oh, there it is.
And so this is not an odd case. This is purely consistent with what I've experienced at Oasis Village in Connell. 10 years ago, I was selling these lots for $30,000 to $35,000. My most recent sales are in the $30,000 to $35,000 price range. If that's appreciation, I'm a monkey's uncle. These people are incorrect. They're well-meaning and they're very nice people, but they're simply incorrect. That's the point with respect to the appreciation, that the appreciation in Connell has not been consistent, at least in my experience, and the example I have here before you today, with what they're suggesting. Number two, they're saying that the values that they're using as examples of the value of the lots once the houses are built is somehow consistent with the value of the land. I can tell you that there's no relationship functionally between selling a piece of land and selling a piece of land with a house on it. I've only been doing this for 31 years, so I'm still learning this process, but I can tell you that that's not an accurate way of looking at that relationship. What happens is once the house is built on the lot, then it's very easy for a assessor to be able to say, oh, okay, the value of the lot is now worth quite a bit more because it has a house on it. Well, that's fine, but it doesn't really relate to the consideration with respect to the lots that may be developed but not built on.
I would just speak to the sale that's not comparable in that it is a 6.2-acre piece of land that is completely undeveloped. Would have been a great comparable for the development land piece before it was created and became Oasis Village.
If
it happened at that time, But it is a 6.2-acre piece of land that is completely undeveloped, and I did talk to the school district and the city, and they both agreed that development costs are high. The city of Connell puts a lot of fees on the developer, and entry into the market is difficult. And after Oasis Village was put in, there wasn't a high demand for another large-scale development in Connell. So not comparable to an actual lot-sized piece in a developed community that's already there. I think the most relevant factors are the recent sales that have taken place, which you have a map and a grid for. You have the listing price of the subject properties themselves, and then you have the MAI appraisal, which puts their value at $41,666 back in 2016. And to speak to the improved property sales versus the land sales and allocating land value, there's two basic ways to find land value on property. One is sales of similar lots, and the other is allocating a percentage of improved property sales to come up with a land value, which is what the MAI appraiser has done on the page that I've referenced, as well as what I did on page 10 of my packet. Okay.
Joe, do you have any questions?
I guess the only question, the assessor has these two, are these valid sales advertisements from the realtor?
Again, I've been doing this for a while, Joe, and I can tell you that there's a difference between what you ask for a piece of property and what you get for a piece of property. I am advertising these two lots. I haven't sold these two lots. The lots that I've actually sold between $30,000 and $35,000. So for them to make a copy of this and say, well, this is reflective of what the true values are, I mean, again, it's nonsensical, because it's only a piece of property is only as valuable as the person who's going to pay for it.
Sure. So when was the last vacant lot sold in Oasis?
Well, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you.
Page 8 of my packet has the last three. Last sale was in 2015. The last market arm's length transaction of vacant land in Oasis Village was in 2015.
Okay. Again, I would suggest that the price of the lots has been consistent over that period of time. It's between $30,000 and $35,000. So for anybody to say now they're suddenly worth $46,000 is a stretch.
And Joe, we need to move on.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
And we'll close.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for warming up the seat. There you go. Both from Connell, so
we should have carpooled.
Morning.
It's been Connell Day, huh?
It is.
Well, after all the introductions, I could just raise my hand.
Let's just jump on in it then, since you know the drill. Today is still October 10th, Thursday. The time is now 10:52. We are starting with petition number BE 2019-11, parcel number 106691190. Owners are Galen and Nancy Harper. We have Mr. Harper here today, and we have Nikki Morgan and Monica Crutchfield for representing the assessor's office.
Good morning. Welcome to the Frank.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut in. I did want to go over, well, we're residential. The petition is residential, so it's scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellate and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization.
the board members are Gregory Garcia, who is out today, Joe Chris, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial board or body, which means having to do with powers that are some extent judicial, as those are certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our roles is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and take the oath.
So do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue you a written decision, which you should receive within 4 weeks or sooner. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of our decision. The board is in receipt of all documents provided by you and the assessor. You have, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin.
Well, I believe in numbers. I'm sure the appraisers and the count believe in numbers as well. But I'm glad to be here on the 10th month and the 10th day and the 10th hour. I think there's some significance in those numbers. I love my parcel number. It's the Battle of Hastings, 1066, and that was a battle that changed history. And then the next two numbers are 911, and you are my 911. And a lot of Commonwealth people, I think, would really like to be here. My neighbor, I said, you're assessing 82% increase, and why aren't you going to appeal? He said, I don't have time, but I will vote. So Connell is not real happy with the assessor at this particular moment in our relationship. You know, I'm not a two-party person. I don't think government is obstructive, just the opposite. I think government is very constructive. And I think 99% of the time they actually get it right. And taxation is the lifeblood of the system. I totally acknowledge that. I taught government for 29 years at Connell High School, so I know a little bit about government. You have my list of reasons why I think my property has been over-evaluated, but obviously I disagree in that particular assessment. When I called the assessor, they told me that they had already given me a $45,000 adjustment. So they believe that my property is worth $333,000 approximately, taxable with the deduction down to $288,700. I can tell you in my heart and in my brain that it's not worth that much money, but at the same time, I would sell it to you at that price today, but my wife would probably divorce me, and that's a price I will never, never, never want to pay. So 91% in 1 year seems horribly excessive to me under any circumstances. I'm taking the lower amount with that assessment. Now, it's true, my wife and I, we have maintained that house lovingly, and now that I'm retired, I spend my whole days working on that yard. It does look like a state park, until Mother Nature last night came and ruined all my color in my yard. But it was beautiful yesterday, not so lovely today. 43 years old house. Actually, we started it in 76, the bicentennial year, but we really didn't have a house to move in until 77. So 42 years, if that's the legal age. I'm not a rebel. 88% of the time I agree with the assessor's evaluation. Four times I have not. First two times I met with Steve Marks in his office, and in 20 minutes we had reached an agreement, the gentleman's agreement. Third time in his office, he said, no, I can't agree with you this year. Buster, that's my nickname, he said, I can't agree with you. You're going to go to the Board of Equalization. I said, fine, we'll go to war, you know. But it turns out that he forgot to send me the forms that he had promised. I called him up a week before the deadline. He said, you're right, I'm in the wrong, therefore we're accepting your proposal. The fourth time, I appeared before you in 2014, and the increase was for 37%. And at that point, you agreed with me overwhelmingly and reduced it down to something like 16%. It's 91% in 1 year. That just totally seems excessive to me. I hope you'll consider my counteroffer. It may be a little on the lower side. I'm sure you'll raise that, because in my neighborhood, the average is 49%. It's amazing, that little conclave. But there are like 20 homes in Connell on septic tanks. And we happen to be one of those 20 homes, particularly. I just want to thank you for your kindness, for listening to this particular presentation. I know it's not a lot of fact-based. You have my facts here, which I think are significant and at least worth considering. And I too, like my neighbor before me here, Mandy, you have been a princess. I thank you for your help and guidance in all of this. It was a big help. Look out for it.
Okay, Nikki?
Thank you. My name is Nikki Morgan. Again, this is Monica Crutchfield, and we both did meet with Mr. and Mrs. Harper at the property and did a walkthrough inspection just to address all of the concerns that Mr. Harper had about his property. It seems that there are two different types of concerns. One is the percentage increase in assessed value, and the other are just specific details to the property that are listed out on the appellant's page, bullet points 1-8. So we tried to address both of those with them and take that all into consideration, and did not make the election to adjust the value at that time. So we are recommending our assessed value of $288,400 to be sustained, and there is information in our packet as to why. So pages 3 and 4 are the characteristics of the property in a photo. Page 5 is a sketch of the home. Pages 6 and 7 outline our appraisal methodology, which require us to be at 100% of market value and to be equitable. So it's a state law that not only are we at 100% of market value, but that we treat parcels equitably and fairly across the board. Then there are some pages in between, but if you skip to page 9, there were 37 sales that occurred in 2018 in the city of Connell. After the adjustments that were applied equitably and consistently throughout Connell, our overall level of assessment is 97.21% on single-family residences. Those specific sales are detailed out on page 10. And then there's a map of those on page 11. And page 12 is the subject property with two specific sales, just for your reference. Please note at the bottom that the direct comparison approach was not used. We did not adjust the two sales to indicate a market value. We did use Marshall and Swift cost approach with local multipliers and applied a market adjustment consistently throughout the area to come up with the assessed values. I guess part of what I'd like to say is that state statute does not allow us to look at percentage increase on properties. It does require us to be at 100% of market value. So rather than worrying about how much we're increasing it in 1 year, which we do, we look at that and we try to span it out over all 6 years so that it's not a big hit on that sixth year. But in a rural community like Connell, and with a lot of movement in Pasco that we've been trying to keep up with, I would say it is our fault that over the last 5 years we just haven't had time or resources, appraisal staff, technology to keep up with all the different pockets and submarkets of Franklin County. So they were probably being undervalued for the last 3 to 4 years significantly, and they did see a pretty hefty increase in 1 year, which is to the taxpayers' benefit. If they had been increased to be at 100% of market value all along, they would have paid more taxes in the previous years. That said, going forward, we treated everyone fairly and equitably. On that sixth year, we take a look at all adjustments to the property, and the subject property had a 45% functional obsolescence on its home due to the fact that he had appealed before and won, and we removed that at that time. It was a size adjustment, stating that his home was bigger than typical in Connell, and therefore our valuation software was maybe valuing it too much per square foot. It was the only parcel in Connell with that adjustment, and it was removed in order to equalize the area so that all taxpayers are paying their fair share. If you go to the list of sales on page 10, you'll see that there were two homes over 2,500 square feet that sold in 2018. We're at 97% on one and 106 on the other. That is a little on the high side if we're just looking at those two at an average assess ratio of 102.33. Overall, not enough to warrant a 45% adjustment or even a 10% adjustment. It would have impacted 30 homes in Connell, not just the subject property. We couldn't justify it. We couldn't make that inequity in property values in Connell, so we chose not to adjust for size because those two sales are so close to being right at 100% anyway. The other issues, not being on utilities, having a septic tank, like you said, it impacts the entire sub-development, not just this one parcel. The smell from the ranch property across the way, air doesn't just hit the first house and stop. It would affect most of Connell. The freeway noise, it would infect all of those homes. So while we have adjusted for some things, size and the specific location was not one of them.
Do you have a rebuttal?
More or less, just a continued statement. I just hope you'll give me the courtesy of reading the points that I've made. But I'm here today because basically I know this board has the power to make adjustments. And I think in this case a fair adjustment. The interesting thing to me is that the board is kind of like the conscience of this particular system. I am not the greatest fan of computers, but I realize we've gone to computers and that's made the system work more efficiently. On the other hand, it kind of blew up, I think, last year, and they had to go through the whole reevaluation business again. And that's when I got that 11% decrease. I nearly fell in my chair. I was used to this same or a kick up, and all of a sudden I went backwards 11%. And I thought, well, wait a minute, my house is certainly worth more than $150,000, but I'm going to take that and basically run with it. The thing is, there's got to be a heart here somewhere. 91% is just off the charts. And I and my one neighbor, 82% of that 91%, for whatever reason, we got hammered particularly there. It just seemed like in the rest of my, we do have in that little concrete about 10 houses there, a couple in the 30s, none in the 40s, and then it goes up into the 50s, a couple in the 60s, and of course 82 and 91%. It just doesn't seem realistic to me that 91% is a fair increase. So again, I just ask the board to be the conscience of the system. If you think 91%, I love your little charts. I did read them incidentally. And I must admit, being a Christian, that there are three errors, probably in their favor, in their presentation. I no longer have a heat pump. I haven't had a heat pump in like 22 years. And I've been on natural gas since then. I don't know if that helps me or hurts me. They have missed. I owe them more square feet, on 96 more square feet on my awning. They ended my awning in the wrong place. It actually extends to the end of my house. And the third thing is, although they indicate that there is a bay window, a third-day window, they give me a real big break there, I think, because it's the biggest bay window, and they don't even hardly see it, basically. So those three things would be correcting the data that they now have. Otherwise, I do not protest their data as far as the size of my house and property and so forth.
I'm just sitting there day one, so this is ridiculous.
Anything, Nikki?
Jim, I got a question. Nikki, there's the changes in the appellant's information here, page 6, approximately. There, it kind of bounces back and forth. The, you know, 2016, drop down 4.4, no change, increase, then the big, large decline, now the 91. Is there any explanation for that?
It's the nature of the beast of statistical adjustments on looking at Connell as a whole, not doing any updates as far as condition of properties, just leaving everything as it is and hoping that our information on the sales that are taking place is accurate.
So it seems like sales data can really skew, mess some things up here. I mean, I think 11% decline in 1 year based on sales data. Okay.
It's also the difference between conservative appraisers that are happy to sit at 70% of sales values and others that are willing to be closer to 95%, which is where we're required to be by law to make tax paying equitable for all part, taxpayers in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the increase of 91% isn't just due to the market. That's due to a 45 functional obsolescence being removed from the subject property that was placed on there in years past.
Hmm.
Part of it, anyway.
Okay.
And that was in 2014, 15?
I didn't look. It was before I got here, so it was before 2015.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, good morning. Well, afternoon. Never mind. Afternoon. All right, Mr. Brewer, we're going to go ahead and get started with your Board of Equalization hearing today. It is October 10th. The time is now 12:38 p.m. Your petition number is BE 2019-15. Parcel number is 109804124. Owner is Gary and Katie Boer. We have Mr. Boer on the phone here. And we have representing the assessor's office, Nikki Morgan and Monica Crushfield. Also, the petition is considered residential, so the petition is scheduled for 20 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 5 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board.
Good morning. Welcome to Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Gregory Garcia, who is absent today, Joe Chris, and myself, Alicia Greenaway, chairwoman. Our clerk is Amanda Pearson. The board is quasi-judicial board, which means having to do with the powers that are some extent judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessed year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor's office. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Can you hold this for 1 second, please?
Sure.
I'm on a telecom special. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, one of my neighbors stopped by.
Oh, that's okay. The clerk will ask you now to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath.
Okay.
Do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Mr. Boo?
Yeah,
okay. Following the hearing, the board will meet and weigh the evidence and make the final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeal, and the notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by you and the assessor. We have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present her case. Please begin. Mr. Boer, go ahead.
Okay. I did contact the assessor's office, and they gave me their statistical summary report. And I went through it. I'm trying to remember what there was, 20 or something, 30 of them. Anyhow, there's only three properties in that survey that are even close to equal of mine. So based on that, there's only like an 8% representation of sales for property of my age. And then the four closest properties in that statistics in that survey, they only averaged a increase of $19,500, not $40,100 like mine went up. And then I checked out property increases on I went to the tax sector and looked at the properties in my neighborhood, the six local properties that surround my property. Their average increase was only $14,200. All the properties that I researched had at least 2-bedroom, 1-bath. I have 1-bedroom, 1-bath. I also have electric wall heaters. Most of the other properties had heat pumps or forced air furnaces. Monica did come out, her and another person, they did come out and looked at my house because I said that the basement walls are starting to deteriorate, which they are, which they also discovered that it's not a basement, it's a glorified crawl hole with a concrete floor, which I've been being taxed on a basement all along. Since my wife and I have been in the house, we've only spent like $3,500 on improvements. Most all of it is in physical stuff like paint, make things look nice. I had an idea that because it was just a drive-by sighting, that my flower bed lawns, my property is kept up very nicely, where some of the adjacent properties aren't. So I don't know if that's like, you know, I appeal has some bearing on what a person increases a buy or not. I'm not sure.
Talks about the fact that
7 speak to the fact that we require by law and state statute to be 100% of market value. And in doing that, we start with the cost approach and the specific characteristics of the parcel, and then market adjust those homes to market value according to sales. So it's a sales adjusted cost approach. Page 9 is the statistic results of the adjustments that we made in Connell. There were 37 sales in 2018. The adjustments that were made equitably to all single-family residences in that area, we came in at 87.21% of those sales prices for those 37 sales. The 37 sales are listed on page 10. The four that are highlighted yellow are the four sales that the appellant reduced, stating that he felt that they were comparable to his home. Two of them have basements and two don't. See there that the AP ratio or the assessed ratios for those four sales are 80%, 74%, 96%, and 85%. So of those older homes, we are actually undervaluing more than what's typical in the area. There are three sales just for your review on page 12. And I would like to note the disclaimer at the bottom, the sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value. Again, we use the cost approach with the specific characteristics using Marshall and Swift, locally multiplied to our area, and then an additional market adjustment is placed on those homes if sales indicate that it's needed. And then there's a map of those sales on the following page. And so again, we would like to recommend the lower value, the corrected value of $96,200.
Mr. Boer, do you have a rebuttal?
Yes, I know that they did bring that down to $96,200, and she did say that that's within $1,900 of what I said. And I think that I valued that the other $1,900. I did say, I did stick my foot out and said, yeah, I might go with a $20,000 increase because I know things are getting better, but $40,000 is way out of line for a one-year jump on that old of a house. I mean, it's just, there's not that kind of a market for older houses. Not my knowledge, anyhow. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I don't know. I see them. And I looked at the prices of the other houses, so I still think it's a little bit steep.
Okay. Nikki, do you have anything else? Okay. Joe, do you have anything to ask? No? Okay.
Okay.
We're good. We can close.
Okay, so that will conclude the hearing. You will be receiving the written notice in the mail within the next 4 weeks. Thank you again, Mr. Boer.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Have a good day.
So we are back with the Board of Equalization October 10th, Thursday. It is now 1:23 p.m. Chairman Alicia Greenaway will now read the decisions for the day.
All right. Regarding BE2019-01, parcel number 11614035, petition name is MPT of Pasco RCCH LLC. Decision to sustain, board's decision to sustain the assessor's value of $1,859,300 and is based on the following reason. Number three, uphold AV within market value. And number one, the sales of comparable property value. Number two is regarding BE2019-06, parcel number 10209215, petitioner's name is Jerry Latham, decision to sustain, the board's decision to sustain the assessor's value of $98,100 is based on the following reasons. Number three, to uphold the AV value within market, and also one, sales of comparable property. Number three and four are together. They're two separate parcels. BE201907, parcel number 106664881. Petitioner's name is James and Stacy Norhausen Ferguson. Board's decision to sustain value of $125,100 is based on the following reasons. Number three, uphold AV within market, and also number one, sales of comparable property. Also, regarding BE2019-08, parcel number 106664882. Petitioner's name is James and Stacy Norhaus Ferguson. The board's decision to sustain assessor's value of $44,700 is based on the following reasons. Number three, uphold within market value. And number one, sales of comparable property value. Number five is BE2019-16, parcel number 109-651-048. Petitioner's name is Leslie and Gabrielle Savage. The board's decision to sustain the assessor's value of $46,000 is based on the following reasons. Number three, uphold within AV market value, and one, sales of comparable property. The decision of the board is based on the information of sales of comparable property and on timely adjustment of 5% per year. Regarding BE2019-17, parcel number 651-049, petitioner's name Leslie and Gabrielle Savage. The board's decision to sustain assessor's value $46,000 is based on the following reasons. Number three, uphold the AV within market, and also one, sales comparable property. The decision of the board is based on the information of sales comparable property and its timely adjustment of 5% per year. Number seven, we are looking at petition number BE2019-11, parcel number 106691190. Petitioner name Galen and Nancy Harper. Decision to reduce, the board's decision to reduce assessed value from $288,400 to $234,000 even, and the board's decision for the following reasons. Adjustment is being made due to the inconsistency assessment of values used of the last 5 years based on the location of the property, which affected its market value. And the last one, petition number BE2019-15, parcel number 109804124, petition name Gary and Kate Boer, board's decision to sustain assessor's value of $96,200 is based on the following reason. Number 21 is to sustain as per correction made by the assessor's office. And that is all.
Thank you.